again, you mentioned obviously Max is going to get in here. And like I said, I'm in the streets. Max almost seems blacker than you, Stephen A. with his commentary.
With all due respect, my brother. You
I'm just saying, dog.
Wait a minute. Wait a finish. Wait a finish.
I'm just saying.
I'm gonna check you right now. You don't cross
the
line.
I'm just saying.
Tama. Wait a minute. You don't cross the line.
Australia. Hey, young. That's right. It's NBA Australia. It's Friday, November 22. TGIF, am I right? And I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet booze money. I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball, who came back in the NBA today. Breaking down, wrapping up every little bit of NBA action for you while repping Australia. Just a little bit, mate. That's what we do. Only two actual NBA games today to wrap up for you, but they were pretty bloody fun. Tell you what. We also got some news about a big magic man. Got some stories about Kobe. Woody Allen smoking weed with the We Believe Warriors. And today we've also got the NBA Australia Stone Measuring Challenge, a.k.a. our power rankings. Noish. We've also got the usual dumbassery. That's on an iPhone, mate. No mate. Spud of the night. Dancing in the evening and better than Lonzo Ball. Of course, there's Yeah Nah. There's the unpopular opinion of the day, and there's Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grilled take. There's Australian Player Watch, which doesn't exist today because no one played. But we do have the Luke Longley Memorial bloke who just did their bloody job. Role Player Hall of Famer. This is a great one. He won a title with the Miami Heat in 2006. Get your guesses in now. You're not going to win anything. We're also going to make a pick and preview every single game for the entire NBA weekend. That's 25 games. Jesus. Unreal. And we're also going to finish up with a brand new Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. Yes, he's back. Unbloody real. All right, let's get to it. It's Friday after all. Let's fang through this one. It's NBA Stray episode 361. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
You better! Especially if you're Kenny the Jet Smith, who got beaten in the old sprint to the board today in inside the NBA. That was pretty good. You better also watch out for the Brandon Spindles Ingram. Holy shit, if you're the Phoenix Suns. Smashed him today. But also, you should watch out for the Greek Freak, really. I mean, if you're the Portland Trailblazers, damn. You got today. Anyway, let's start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with the Daily Whip Around. There we go. Nailed it. Vooch. Nikola Vucevic is out for the Magic. Now, according to Shams, at least 4 weeks with an ankle. According to Woj, they're going to reassess him in 7 to 10 days. Either way, that's not great news for all four Orlando fans, is it?
Jesus.
But we'll talk about that a little bit later, because I'm actually kind of interested in that one. Stephen A. What's that, Stephen A. Smith? I mean, really?
This is ridiculous. Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord, indeed. Talked shit about Kyrie yesterday, which is pretty great. I will tell you this. I'm not hearing good things about Kyrie in Boston. Brooklyn. You're hearing about his mood. People are putting things out there. I'm telling you, there's stuff circulating out there from him about from an attitude perspective. Now, people are like, oh, Stephen A's got like inside goss on Kyrie fucking up the Nets. It sounds 100% like Stephen A. Smith is literally just like, oh, I read that story about Kyrie and the Nets, and that means there's story circulating. Fucking hell. Jarrett Allen came straight out. Basically, he got asked about this. He's like, what? Kyrie's been awesome. It's like, all right, sick. Of course, Jarrett Allen doesn't know any better, but still. We also had a great bit of news about how the 2007 We Believe Warriors smoked weed with Woody Allen, according to Matt Barnes, at a party on a bus. Got told by their coach, Don Nelson, go smash a couple of doobs. What do you reckon? Go in the back there. And who's there? Woody fucking Allen rolling some doobs. I fucking love this story. Because look, It's pretty weird, I'll tell you. But also kind of funny and weird. Look, I would have expected Woody Harrelson before I would have expected Woody Allen, but here we are. That's fucking great, isn't it? I mean, it's just pretty weird. So Matt Barnes basically came out and said he's going to do a documentary on the We Believe Warriors anyway, but he says, talk about the party after they, you know, basically blew out the Mavs in that first round, remember? So Matt Barnes says, we got to Don Nelson's penthouse in Lake Merritt, and he tells us, Woody's in the back rolling doobies, fellas. Go back there. It was Woody Allen rolling doobies, and our coach is telling us to go back there and smoke with him. Now they had the whole roof, and we go up, and there's Jessica Alba, Kate Hudson, Owen Wilson, and Snoop. We ended up going to a club in San Francisco and lived it up after that. We went back to Snoop's hotel and blew it down. There was so much smoke in the room, they came knocking on the door. We were thinking, oh, shit, here we go. They came in, unscrewed the window, opened them up so the smoke went out, asked if we needed anything else, and they left. That is fucking great. I love this story. Please do that documentary, Matt Barnes. That would be wicked. Finally, a bit of a Kobe story from Lou Will. Lou Will said, Kobe is going to be mad at me for this, but we got blown out in Portland one time, and he came in the locker room and said, from now on, every time down the court, I touch the ball. Y'all are going to learn what it's like to play with Kobe Bean Bryant. Ah, Kobe, you fucking, I don't know, just absolute lunatic. Right, let's do the game race for today. We only had two, as mentioned. We had some pretty fun games like Portland, Milwaukee, Milwaukee, here it's Algonquin for the good land. 137-129. No defense apparently played in this game. No Dame for Portland. But this was like a wildly entertaining game, right? Like, strangely odd. Even though it was like 72-58 at the half, they kind of just stuck around to the old Trailblazers. Like, it was weird and it was kind of fun. They outscored them in the third, outscored them just in the fourth, but just sort of dug themselves enough of a hole in the first quarter where Bledsoe and Giannis and just were really, really, really good in that first half. Like, Portland just came roaring back, right? Bit of Gary Trent, bit of Melo. And they just never gave up. But, yeah, look, it's just hard. It's a hard, 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 hard scene there to take on Milwaukee for, you know, all four quarters. And without Dame, it was tough. But, look, the Blazers, they shot better than the Bucks. Only had 8 turnovers, but it got out-rebounded 41-58. Jesus. Anyway, CJ McCollum was CJ McKillum. He was unreal. 15-29 shooting for 37 points and 10 assists. He was awesome. Who else do you have? You had Scal Labissiere, 22-12 with 5 blocks. He was awesome too. I mean, 10-16 shooting for Scal. 12-22, 3-1-5. It's really good. Hit 2 threes as well, did Scal. Love that. Anyway, Melo hit 18 points. That was pretty cool. 6-15 shooting, 3-5 from 3. Sure. 3 turnovers, 4 assists. Nice. Rodney Spud Hood didn't miss, 5 of 5 for his 11, only played 30 minutes though, and I don't know, 4 assists, 2 steals, still a minus 4. Rodney, what are you doing? Gary Trent Jr. had 13 as well, but I don't know, man, they were kind of, as always, let down by Super Mario. And who else? I don't know, he was scoreless in 10 minutes with Super Mario. Anthony Simons going 2 of 9 wasn't great, and Blaze Gaze being shithouse did not help matters. I did like Anthony Tolliver out there playing the role of John Sally and Whoopi Goldberg's Eddie. As usual, 8 points for him, 2 of 6 from downtown, 3-9 overall, but I don't know. 31 minutes seems like a lot of time to be playing Anthony Tolliver, you know what I mean? For the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo had a big triple-double. Big triple-double. 24, 19, and 15. That's fucking wild. He'll pop up again in a second. Bledsoe put on another Bled show, going 11-21 from the floor for 30 points and 6 assists. He's on one at the moment, and this is why, you know, Bledsoe sort of just keeps sticking around and why it makes his, like, playoff disappearances so fucking infuriating. He had 28-7-5 against Atlanta yesterday, 36-4 today, and then just disappears in the playoffs when it's like, Boston, the big ragu, Dante DiVincenzo had 16, Pat Connaughton, 7-10 shooting night, 2-3 from downtown for 18 points. He was awesome. And the big ragu and Pat Connaughton did enough on a night when Brook Lopez only had 10 points, George Hill had 7, 4, and 3. They did enough, and it was really handy. Chris Webber talking shit and pulling out a Marv, which is pretty great. Mistaking? There we go. Robin and Brook Lopez. Now, I'm not entirely convinced how this fucking happens, right? Robin Lopez looks like fucking Sideshow Bob. He's got a black eye. You're sitting on the fucking floor watching the basketball, Chris Webber, and it's your job to know the fucking players. One's got a giant fucking fro, the other one doesn't, and shoots threes. Now, one of them hit a three. Which one do you think that was, Chris? You fucking idiot. Of course it was Brook. Yeah, Chris Webber slowly morphing into Marv Albert is pretty fucking great. That's what happens when you sit next to him. That and a predilection for weirdly rough sex, apparently. Portland, 5-11 now. Oh, geez. Milwaukee, look, they started 11-3 so far. They're now 12-3. They played 10 of their first 14 games on the road. They've now got 11 of the next 14 at home, which is great. So Milwaukee coming on strong. All right, the second game of today, Phoenix host of the New Orleans Pelicans. They were the Pelicans indeed today. 124, they beat the Suns 121. Phoenix without Rubio, without Bangers, still going to go his hip contusion. I reckon Bangers will be right in a game or two anyway. He was out there warming up, so a bit of a shame. But fun start to the game. First quarter was absolutely mental. JJ Redick literally just couldn't miss. He literally didn't. Had back-to-back threes where he's fouled as well. Back-to-back four-point plays, just missed one of the free throws. Lonzo came in for his first game in a while after missing a bunch and literally immediately knocked in a three. That was pretty cool. It's like, ah, look at him. Get your merch. I mean, do it. Get your merch.
Demo.
Get your merch.
Wear it.
Get your merch.
Yeah, wear it. But it was fun. It was like a really fun game. The Pelicans shit the bed. 19-point turnaround. Phoenix led by 7 at the half. Redick had 0 points in the second quarter. Phoenix are just like, oh, okay, so we better start playing. And then the Pelicans came out on fire again in the third, and JJ just couldn't miss again. It's like the second quarter never happened. They went on a 25-10 run, and then a 10-2 run to open the fourth as well. And holy shit, it was like, what the fuck has happened? And then Phoenix fought all the way back in the fourth quarter. It was an awesome tussle. Spindles Ingram, Elia Kubu going back and forth. Etuan Moore doing Etuan Moore things. Ingram just took over down the stretch, though. He was absolutely incredible. He'll pop up again later. Devo Booker, look, rough night-ish, I guess, for Devo Booker. 7-14 shooting, 19 points, 7 assists, 6 turnovers, though, you know? That's what happens when you're not playing, when you're playing next to Tyler Johnson and not Ricky Tiki Tata Ruby. Oh! 25 for Kelly Oubre Jr. He was really, really good. 7-17 shooting, 2-4 from downtown, 6 rebounds and 4 assists for him, only 1 turnover. Had a great putback and then a smoked an absolute pearler of a 3 just before the halftime buzzer. That was sweet. Frank the Tank and his stupid fucking eyes had 14 points, 5 rebounds. Did some useful things. It's just not bangers, you know. Cam Johnson showed a bit as well, 14 points and 3-4 from downtown for the rookie who was somehow older than me. Check Diallo in his 14 minutes was really handy as well. 4-5 from the floor, 8 points, an amazing block on Spindles. He just did some wild shit. Oh no, blocked the shit out of Lonzo, wasn't it? Not Spindles. Yeah, it was fucking great. Yeah, I love me some Check Diallo. About time he sort of came good. 12 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 steals for Michael Bridges. That was good. And mentioned Okobo, he had a good one. 11.7 assists as well. And also Dario the Spud Saric, the homie. 1-5 from the floor for 5 points. Yeesh. What are you doing, Dario? Anyway, the Pelicans, they were fucking great. I told you, it's just, they were really good. 28 points for Spindles. He was unreal. 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 9 of 19, 15 points in the fourth quarter alone. Absolute takeover. JJ was unstoppable, barely missed, hit 5 of 8 threes, 10 of 14 overall for 26 points. 23 for Jrue Holiday with 9 assists and 3 steals and 5 turnovers. He was unreal, though. And 19 for Etuan Moore. He was just, speaking of barely missing, 3 of 5 from downtown, 8 of 12 shooting. The Pelicans shot 53%, including 16 of 35 from downtown. Pretty good. Won the rebounding battle 44 to 38. Just really, really good showing from the Pels. Which, you know, without Derek Favors, obviously without Zion, this was a really important, really cool game. So that was good. Lonzo coming back was handy too, obviously, but way to go, Pels. Did some good stuff. What a fun game this was. Phoenix, now they're 7-7. Oh, geez, the wheels. You can see them slipping. And the New Orleans Pelicans, remember, they started the season 1-7. They're now 6-9. Nice. Cool. All right, what about the NBA Australia approved performance of the night, however? Who do you reckon this one's going to go to?
That's a knife.
That's a knife.
Oh, Spindles, 28 points, 15 in the fourth quarter. He was awesome. That was really, really, really fun. I absolutely love that Spindles Ingram is out there bawling his ass off for the Pelicans. You know, getting him and Lonzo out of LA is legitimately awesome. You know, get them away from all the expectation of being number two picks in that city. Just fucking wash your hands of it. Start anew in New Orleans. It's like that episode of The Simpsons where Skinner and Wiggum go down to New Orleans and Wiggum's like the police chief down there. That's amazing. So good shit. But Giannis was also neck level today. That triple-double was just absolutely fucking wild. There were moments in that Blazers game where he's just like, fuck it, I'll score. There was nothing that the Blazers could do. I mean, it's the Blazers trying to play defense, so that's not a great sign. But still, 24 points, 19 rebounds, 15 assists, 3 steals and a block. Look, the shooting was rough as guts, 9 of 27. The 1 of 7 from 3, 5 turnovers. But man, he's still, like, dominated. It's just crazy. And that means this MVP race is going to be fun on the bun. All right, old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Today? Mello, is it me you're looking for? I can see it in your eyes. I mean, all anyone has done about Mello is like yell, you know, about him being shit, me included. And I mean, he's just sort of like sad at this point, isn't he? It's like, man, just second chance. Like, second chance. You had a chance at other chances, but you decided to take a 5-year fully guaranteed contract with no player option a couple of times from the Knicks, you fucking idiot. I mean, but still, 18 points in his second game was cool. And 15 shots, that's cool. 3 of 5 from deep, that's cool. Like, at this point, we all know that he's not great, but literally no one's asking him to come in and average 28 a game, you know? So he still gets straight kilt no matter what, which is kind of weird and sad. Isn't that right? Straight kilt?
So he got straight killed.
Straight killed. But, I mean, it's not that weird. He's never done himself any fucking favors, you know? Stupid Marvin the Martian tattoo. I'm a business man. But, I don't know. Just let Mello be Mello. Is that how it should go? I guess. Sure. Spud of the night, however.
Spud of the night.
Blaze Gaze. Kent Blazemore. Sounds like he's been blazing a lot more. 18 minutes, 1 of 8 from the floor, 0 of 3 from downtown, a minus 8 for the game, 2 points. Yeah, you know, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal. But come the fuck on. This is just, in a game where you're like, all right, we need to go a little bit toe-to-toe. We're not going to play much defense, clearly. We need to score. And he goes out and goes 1 of 8. I mean, ugh, brutal. And this is the kind of thing with the Bazemore. I've already yelled about it at length, but you replace a known infuriating quantity of Evan Turner with a more 3-and-D idealized version of infuriating quantity, right, in Baze Gaze. Completely ignoring the fact that Baze isn't a great three-point shooter or a defender. So now you've got him and Spud Hood, who you can rely on to basically have one good game every, what, 4, 5, 6 games, once every 2 weeks? That sound about right? Yeah. And then that's what costs you games. It's like, Jesus, we're relying on dudes that you can't rely on. That's fucked. So Baze Gaze, you're killing me. I'm sure you're killing PDX Pete and all the other Blazers fans out there, but Jesus, that was brutal. Pantsing of the night, Tolliver got by Brook Lopez. That was pretty fucking great. Oubre went all over the Pals too, but yeah. Tolliver, like a nice little dish back in from Giannis into the lane. Lopez just rampaging down the middle of it. Tolliver just ducked his head and went, I'm fucking out of here. I'll see you guys later. Bit of a pantsing. That's when you're tied to a pole with your tie and someone pantses you and you can't, and it's tied so tightly to the pole, you can't actually reach your pants to pull them back up. Tough. That really sounded like I was talking from experience, didn't it? Bit of a Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. He's coming for everybody.
And he's back, which makes me happy. I'm just like, can we just get more Lonzo? That's all I want. I just want him to play, you know? That's all I ask. He hasn't played since November 9. So he's missed basically 2 and a bit weeks. Bit rough. Game wasn't great today. 3 of 9 from the floor, 2 of 7 from downtown, including that one I mentioned. 5 assists, 1 rebound, 3 turnovers, 8 points. So you know who was better than Lonzo Ball? Just, hilariously, not Anthony Simons. 17 minutes. That's two less. 2 of 9 from the floor as opposed to 3 of 9. 6 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. So how about we give it to the big Ragu? Dante DiVincenzo, 16 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist and a steal. He was fucking great today. That was awesome. 7 of 15 from the floor. 2 of 6 from downtown. Anya, the big Ragu. Finally, Dickhead of the Week.
Dickhead of the Week.
I love him, but Charles Barkley, come on, man. Look, I don't hit women, but if I did, I would hit you. And then when I objected, he told me I couldn't take a joke. Ah, come on. Yes, it's a joke. We get it. You're joking. I don't know, man. Maybe just don't fucking joke about hitting women. Like, I'm not sure what is that funny about. It's like, obviously the humor is like, I don't hit women, but if I did, I would hit you. It's like, ah, so you want to hit that chick for asking a question and doing her job? And then saying she can't take a joke. That's a bit fucked, mate. Just saying. And I don't know, maybe just don't threaten folks with violence as a joke, but just for doing their job. But look, also I can see the argument where she should just roll her eyes and be like, all right, fuck, yeah, nice one, yeah. Yeah, yeah, you're going to hit me. But at the same time, like, they're clearly empty threats, but at the same time, the fact that it's a fucking threat in the first place is dumb and stupid and a problem. Like, if it was a bloke, it'd still be fucking weird. Like, wait, ask that question, Reg. I'm going to fucking hit you in the head. Like, what? That's dumb. I don't know. Look, the fact that violence against women is still a big fucking problem in general makes this sort of shit pretty fucked. And I love Charles Barkley, but that is dickhead of the week worthy shit right fucking there. All right, we'll be back in a second with some more lighthearted shit in the NR after this.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Right, let's do it. Time for yeah, nah. Take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether more yeah or more nah. How's your Friday? You getting stoked? Did last week's with a couple of tins. That was awesome. But this week I'm doing my once a month, no booze week, which is all in all, you know. So whenever some fucking nerd comes up, I was like, hey man, you're doing dry July or no beer fucking timber or whatever the fuck you want to do, you nerds. I go, nah, I just don't drink for a week once a month. And that ends up being 3 months. That's better than you, you fucking dork. Also, it's to stop me from becoming the world's biggest fat cunt, you know what I'm saying? All right. So I got a coffee. That's all right. I'll just be pinging off the walls. Right, number one. Are the Magic toast without Vooch? Yeah, nah. Oh. This is a tricky one. I want to believe in Mo Bamba a little bit, but it's not really that much to do with him. I feel like then, like, less toast than we'd probably think, if that makes sense. So I want to kind of say nah. Like at the moment, they're 6-8 anyway, right? Had a couple of nice little wins and they shit the bed. They lose Vooch to this ankle. Like they just got beaten by the Raptors pretty handily. But before that, they had won 3 straight against the Wiz, the Spurs, and the Sixers. So I don't know. I'm tempted to go, fuck, that's it. Orlando are fucked. No offense whatsoever. But at the same time, it just... there's a hint of an idea that this could be an addition by subtraction moment where the glut of big dudes in Orlando thins out a hint. And suddenly there's a little bit, you know, of room to move in the rotation makes sense. But I'd say that if it was Aaron Gordon who went out. Maybe not Vooch. Just their inside-outside scoring and shit was amazing. And Bamba, Amino, etc. can't really replicate that at all. But look, just still watch Johnny Isaac and Aaron Air Gordon go off a little bit more. Even though they lose a bunch of games, I reckon, but... they're not as toast as you'd think, but I think they will be. Next up, are those Celtics PG O'Brien's Irish Murphy City Edition jerseys actually okay? Yeah, nah. Fuck nah. Oh, how hard is it just to do a half-decent City Edition jersey, not make it look like the intern found the Irish font on Photoshop? And they're like, sure, that's fine. You know? It's fucked. Next up, does that mean they gave Enes Kanter a fake jersey? Yeah, nah. Maybe. Yeah, or his flip phone camera is just fucked. And if I was Enes as well, I'd have a fucking flip phone. Don't want the Turkish fucking president, like, listening to everything thanks to Apple or some shit, you know what I'm saying? Next up, do you reckon Simo will take another 3 tomorrow against the Spurs? Oh, yeah, nah! Nah, I don't reckon we see him do that. Not against the Spurs. I reckon he will, though, in the next week. I reckon there'll be one more just to see how it goes, you know? He might just try it. I reckon it'll be a design play, too. And finally, one from listener Brad McGeegan. James, yeah, nah, Tim Hardaway the lesser shit himself and finally found a shot yesterday because he's shit scared Rowdy's going to cut his lunch and take his spot. Yeah, nah, yes, I fucking love this. Yesterday was easily Hardaway the lesser's best game of the year for Dallas, and I reckon 100% it's to do with the fact that he saw Rowdy in the gym and went, oh, fuck, I got to try this year. Shit. And then Rowdy, in 12 minutes worth of garbage time, cans all these threes. Tim Hardaway, the lesser, has got to be sweating fucking bullets, I'll tell you that much. Great call, Brad. That was awesome. I love that one. And it was, like, weird. I remember looking at it. Tim Hardaway, the lesser, absolutely creamed it yesterday. It was, like, unfucking stoppable. What did he go, like, 6 of 8 or something? It was fucking crazy for 20 points. Let's bring it up, shall we? Dallas. And against the Warriors, 142-94. Yeah, I mean, he was, yeah, 6 of 7, 20 points, hit all 4 of his 3s. Rowdy had 9 points in all 3 of his 3s. So, just saying. All right, unpopular opinion of the day, unpopular opinion of the day. This is what we're going to do, the power rankings.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
That's right, it's the NBA Australia stone measuring moment. How big are your team's stones right now? Are they any good or are they bad? Right, we're going to go from 30 to 1 of teams I want to watch right now. 30, Golden State. Fuck that shit. Knicks, 29, of course. Same stuff. Now, I had the Grizz a lot higher last time, but I've actually watched them a couple times since. They're kind of fun, but also, they're just not very good sometimes, you know? They're 28, 27, the San Antonio Spurs, Jimmy. Yep. Because they're fucking shit at the moment. They've lost 7 straight, and there is no way I want to keep watching like any more goddamn Spurs games right now, you know what I'm saying? Because they're shit. And there's like no... take another mid-ranger, DeMar and LaMarcus. Fucking hell. Patty's incredible. Keep starting him, they're going to win some games, but Jesus. Otherwise, blah. The Wiz are at 26. They just beat the Spurs. That checks out. 25 is Charlotte. More fun than you'd expect. They've dropped a bit because they've also dropped a couple of games, but still, you get that on the big jobs. Orlando at 24. They've actually moved up a spot, but that's just because without Vooch, shit's going to get a bit funky. You know what I'm saying? Shit, yeah. So that'll be good. The Hawks at 23. Look, they were a bit higher last time too, but ugh, it is a bit of a slog watching Jabari and Trey without John Collins. That's a title cocktail, you know? And VC can only give you so much. 21, the Blazers. Ugh. Look, it's just like weird stuff to watch the Blazers now. You're just like, mellow? All right. But it's not good. Jesus. 20, Cleveland. That's right, Stephen A. Smith. Cleveland are at 20.
Cleveland!
Indeed. Chicago at 19. I kind of feel like Chicago should be a little bit lower. They were 27 last time we did these power rankings. But Chicago, look, Lowry hit a little bit of a streak of form. And Kobe White has been so fucking good since then, but I just love him. So they're at that almost at that point because of Lowry and Kobe. The Pelicans are at 18. Spindles, he's been incredible. Love this. Lonzo, they just are really fun and watchable. OKC have like shot up these a little bit. They're at 17. I like a little bit of the OKC. Shireta is just pretty fun to watch, you know? Him and Steven Adamsborough. But I've got a feeling they'll drop down a little bit more and some other shit will keep going. Oh, I missed Detroit. Yeah, that checks out. 22, Detroit. Because no one wants to fucking watch Detroit. They should actually be lower. Yeah, look, who wants to watch like Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond? How about I switch them below? Actually, ugh. You know what? I'd rather watch Charlotte and the Wizards ahead of Detroit and Orlando. So we're going to move these around. So Orlando at 26, Detroit at 25, Wizards at 24, 23 Charlotte, 22 Hawks, Blazers 21. There we go. Cleveland 20, 19, Chicago Pelicans 18, OKC 17. The Kings at 16 because they've hit a rare patch of form out of nowhere. That's been really, really fun. I very much enjoyed the Kings' random streak of like crazy wins where they only lost to the Lakers because they got jobbed by the fucking refs again. Some fun stuff. They've only lost, like, the two games that they've lost in the last 8, they've only lost by a combined 6 points. That's awesome. Good shit, Kangs. Brooklyn are at 15 just because they're a fucking heart attack in a basketball game. The Pacers at 14. Look, The Souvlaki King is out there taking names and kicking ass. I love it. Wolves at 13. They're surprisingly okay. I dropped them down the other day just because I didn't really like watching them, but fuck. I've actually watched a couple of games with them in it. It's not as bad as you think. Suns are at 12. It's just because I watched two games without bangers in it, and it annoys me. 11 Miami, because they're pretty good, but I don't really want to watch too much of them. Same with the Jazz at 10. Philly at 9. Now, you'd expect Philly to be a bit higher, but wow. Beating the Knicks by 1 point, losing to fucking Orlando? Dudes, you suck. 8 is Denver. Houston are at 7. But Jimmy, Houston have won a million games, and yeah, I don't want to watch them. The Raps are at 6. Again, it's not that much fun to watch that many Raptors games. But they're fun enough, right? They're good. So that's where they're at 6. 5 is the Mavs, because they're one of the most entertaining fucking teams in the NBA right now. 4 is the Clippers. 3 is the Bucks. They're just almost unimpeachable. And then you've got the Lakers and Celtics at the top. You can decide which way you want them. I'm going to say Celtics. You know, just because, no, fuck it, Lakers. Oh, I hate the Lakers, but they're going to go 1. It's just weird. Like, watching LeBron dominate, watching AD do cool AD shit. Dwight's doing weird stuff. The Celtics are good. The Lakers are just like a weird sort of miasma of absolute fucking chaos that is somehow winning a lot of games, you know? So that's pretty fucking rad. Nice. All right, there you go. That's the unpopular opinion of the day. If you like all those or don't, whatever. I'll deal with it. Sweet. What about Outback Takehouse then? It's Friday at Outback, and you know what that means. 4-for-1 TGIF Foster's Oil Drum Cans. That's right. No bugger in Australia drinks this horse piss. So we're going to foist on you Yanks and say that it's Australian for beer or some shit. Anyway, goes great with the Flame Grill take. And today's Flame Grill take is Steve Kerr reckons all youth basketball players should start playing soccer. I say, fuck that. They should start playing AFL or rugby league so they learn not to be fucking crybabies. Only at Outback. Not bad, actually. Ben Simmons, Josh Green, and you've seen like an absolute raft of footy players switch from basketball back to footy. And, you know, kind of think that kind of works. It's all about coordination, athleticism, some good shit. All right, we're back in a second with Australian Player Watch and all the rest of the fun stuff right after this one.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. There you go. No Aussies in action today, which was absolutely wild, right? So you had bangers, not actually getting out on the floor against the New Orleans Pelicans, still dealing with that hip contusion. I reckon they're just sort of giving a little bit of a rest. And yeah, but we do have everybody playing on the weekend, so that's pretty bloody cool. All right. Well, what else do we do on a Friday? Well, we do a Luke Longley Memorial bloke who just did their bloody job, role player, to induct into his Hall of Fame. So let's do that. And today, the Luke Longley Memorial bloke who just did their bloody job roleplayer Hall of Famer is, give me that Jason Capono, son. Oh! Fuck yeah, Jason Capono. The sharpshooter, sharpshooter, right? Only played 1 minute 32 in the entire final series against Dallas in 06, but still won a title with the Miami Heat. And those Heat had a toit 9-man rotation, so that makes sense. Wade, Shaq, Antoine, Jonas Haslam, White Chocolate, yeah, Posey, Payton, Lonzo Mourning off the bench, Shandon Anderson. So, but Capono, look, all he ever did his entire career was do his fucking job. And that job was hit fucking shots, mate. Seriously, that season after the winning the title, he shot 51.4% from three and led the league, and then did it again the year after at 48.3%. That is absolute bananas. Finished his career at 43.4%. Also shot the lights out everywhere. Went averaged 10.9 points a game when he was in Miami as well, which is pretty crazy. But also feels like he was around forever, right? But he only played 9 seasons in the NBA. He was Cleveland. That's right, Stephen A. Smith. He played for Cleveland. Charlotte, Miami, Toronto, Philly, Lakers. And nowhere longer than 2 years, which makes you wonder if he'd come along 5 years later. After 2003, he'd still be in the NBA and, like, you know, balls deep in a 14-year NBA career. But anyway, he was automatic from three and a great bench guy on that Miami title team. Knew his job, hit three, shut the fuck up. Which is pretty crazy because he also won the three-point shootout in the 2007 and 2008 All-Star weekends. He beat Dirk and Gilbert Arenas in the 07 final. hitting 24, which tied Mark Price's record for the most in a final round. And then next year in 08, he beat fucking Steve Nash, Dirk Nowitzki, and Peja Stojakovic in the final round, set the record for 25 points. That's the all-time single-round record then that had been set in 86 and the new finals record. So he was unreal. On your Jason Capono, Hall of Famer right there. I'm sure he's a lunatic, but all three-point shooter specialists are. So that's good. Nice. Way to go, Jason Capono. Sure, why the fuck not? All right, let's check out Patty Mills' Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in, shall we? What do you reckon? There we go. Let's go, Patty. Nothing on his Twitter, so let's check his Instagram and just see if there's anything going on with Patty Mills on the old Insta. That's a big no. So how about we check Mitch Creek? Jay, do you reckon I planned this segment in advance? The answer is no, and nothing new from the Creek Freak either. What about Bangers? Oh, Bangers had a good one. Yeah, there we go. House of Bane. Absolutely legendary. Great photo of him dunking on Brooklyn. That's right. Come on, Bangers. It's just a great one. And there's some other nice ones as well. Bangers out there crushing it. There's also another one of him with Booker and Rubio. Look, just go look at Aaron Baines' Instagram and get him fucking inspired, would you? That's all I ask. All right. Noice. That's cool. Let's look at the game previews then for the weekend, shall we? Because Aaron Bangers Baines' Instagram is pretty great. I've got to tear my eyes away from that now. Damn it, Bangers. Why you got to be so bangery? Right. So today, we didn't do great. We went 0-2 on today's picks because we had both the favorites and Milwaukee didn't cover. They were minus 11 favorites against Portland. That looked good for a while, but Portland just kept keeping up. So what, they end up winning by 8. We had Bucks by 11.5, so not quite. And Phoenix, they were 4.5-point favorites at home and could not keep New Orleans at bay. So there we go. What are we on the year with that 0-2? We are 111 and 200 out of 210. So you'll take that. All right. Let's look at all of tomorrow's games and all the games for the weekend. Make some picks. See what we've got going. So we've got Atlanta at Detroit tomorrow. Detroit is 6.5-point favorites. And I do not like that at all. I do not, sir. No. Give me Atlanta plus 6.5. Detroit fucking suck. Just remember that. They stink. They stink. And, Atlanta aren't bad, so 6.5 on the road seems like a lot, so give me Atlanta 6.5 in a game that they could probably win outright. Charlotte at Washington, this is a weirdly fucking crazy game, isn't it? Charlotte, Washington. Washington are 5.5-point favorites at home, which seems like pretty bananas sort of stuff, and then you realize that Washington can just score, and I don't know if Charlotte can play defense, so give me Washington minus 5.5. They might win by 6 or 7, I think, so I like that. Sacramento at Brooklyn. I'll take the Kings plus 3.5 because Brooklyn, you cannot trust them as far as you can throw them. San Antonio versus the Philadelphia 76ers. Sixers are 7.5-point favorites. I'll take the Spurs there plus 7.5. The Sixers just can't score enough usually to really cover a big spread like 7.5 points. So give me the Spurs. If the Sixers win, it'll be like by 4. So give me the Spurs plus 7.5. Miami at Chicago. I will take the Miami Heat minus 4.5, even if they're on the road in Chicago, just because Chicago fucking stink and annoy the shit out of me. Lakers at Thunder. Lakers 4.5-point favorites on the road. I like that. OKC are just doing a little bit of like discombobulating at the moment. They're just not entirely sure what's happening, and they're a little bit worried. Lakers should swoop in and kick their ass. Cavs at Mavs. Ooh, that's nice. Cavs 10-point underdogs on the road. This could be an absolute smoking. Similar to what the Mavs delivered to Golden State, and it just seems like too many points though. So give me the Cavs plus 10. I feel like Dallas win this by 8. Boston against Denver in Denver. Nuggets are 4.5-point favorites against a traveling Celtics team. I think I'll take the Nuggets. I feel like they win by 5 or so in that one. Warriors at Jazz. The Jazz are 15.5-point favorites. That just seems like too many. I'll take the Warriors just to cover. They did get absolutely routinely shit pumped by the Mavs the other day though, but look, you get that sometimes. I reckon they bounce back and cover just against the Jazz. Houston at Clippers is the final one. What a great game this is. Rockets are 5-point underdogs heading into Clippers. This is the old Tunnel Wars background fun stuff, but none of those players are still on these teams. So Rockets, Clips, I'll take the Clippers minus 5. Thanks, Alex. I feel like they're just sort of starting to flex. Nice. All right, Sunday, what do we got? We got 10 more games. Phoenix at Minnesota, I will take Minnesota. Chicago at Charlotte, I'll take Chicago. He's a Chicago guy. Orlando at Indiana. Ugh, I'll take Indy, thanks. Why the fuck not? They're looking good. Miami at Philly, I'll take the Philadelphia 76ers. That'd be a fun-ass game, though, both on a back-to-back. Spurs at Knicks, I'll have to take the Spurs. I think they break the losing streak around there. What do you reckon? Jesus, you hope so. Toronto and Atlanta, I'll take the Raptors. Thank you. Portland at Cleveland. I reckon Portland get out of their slump and beat the Cavs. Lakers at Memphis, that'll be Lakers for me. Detroit at Milwaukee, I'll take the Bucks. Should smash them. Pelicans at Utah, I might have the Jazz. Even though it's a back-to-back, they are at home for two straight games. Dallas at Houston. Oh, this is tasty, tasty, tasty stuff. Dallas on the road in Houston. I think I'll take the Rockets. Yeah. Hurts my heart, but anyway. Brooklyn at the Knicks, going across the bridge or underneath it. I'll take the Nets. Sacramento at Washington, give me the Kings. I feel like they just have a couple of sneaky good wins in them. Phoenix at Denver, I'll take Denver at home. And the New Orleans Pelicans versus the Clippers. Clippers on a back-to-back. Might take the Pels. Might play hard. You know that Ingram and Lonzo are going to be out there going, let's fucking do this thing, bro. We're back in our, like, you know, the place that drafted us. Not in the same team, but still, there you go. All right, holy shit, that's it for today. Unbloody real. All right, you know, flying through it a bit. That's it for today. We're back Monday with all the usual dumbassery. Make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, Instagram, all that good stuff. We're over the socials on the weekend still, you know that. Get around NBAAustralia.com. If you're going to go to Amazon and buy some shit, first go to NBAAustralia.com. Click on the giant button. Then go do your shopping. They kick us a shekel or two on the back end. Ups out a little bit. Check us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever app you use on an Android phone, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. Rate and review, it really does help, so get around it, would ya? Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. Debut album Running Out of Time is out now, and it's awesome. Also, big thanks to Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinated, Gold Mines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sexually, Green, 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 and Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout NBA Australia. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp, Triple J on Earth, and Facey. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. All right, we're going to close out with a brand new Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. And we will catch you on Monday, you dickheads. Have a great weekend. This is NBA Australia saying, Aluna Huzzah! Okay, welcome to this week's show. I'm Andrew Bogut, and this is Andrew Bogut. Slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes on Twitter. Because look, you can't let all these whining, outraged professionals, cancel culture, latte drinking, inner city, dangerous snowflakes ruin everything. So someone's got to tell it like it is, like, mate. And that's what I'll do, mate. And if you don't like my opinions, you can go get stuff, mate. Just Google where the headquarters are. Okay, so let's get to the Twitter internet and slam some Twitter snowflakes. All right, what do we got here, mate? What do we got here? Oh, Triple J out there tweeting, and my boss has jumped in, so I better jump in. So Zen Rose says, feel like all the presenters you grew up with are living Triple J. It's a youth station. That's what it is. And then Paul Smith, my boss, he says, isn't this ageism? Zen says, nah, it's our charter. Paul Smith says, okay, can endorse nation say charter to justify hiring of foreign decisions? I better jump in. One would have thought the charter was the people for of Australia, better known as taxpayers. Oh, it's a good point, Bogey. It's a good point. That'll show them. All right, what else we got? Better tweet this one out. Just hearing some behind-the-scenes shit about the fucking coach, mate. The business of basketball 101. Poor Andre. Poor Andre, just saying. Because here we go. Oh, this also came out today. Some dickhead, Ben Batterham, has been found not guilty of the murder of burglar Ricky Slater during a home invasion. Finally, the court's got one right. Oh, that's a good tweet, Bogey. Let everybody know. What else we got? Oh, yeah, better retweet this guy. He says, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Break into someone's home, high as a kite. Don't expect good things to happen. Yeah, it's a good point, mate. Even if you do get murdered. All right, I want to say, I've got to put out a statement in defense of my friend Andre. Thanks to Andre Lemanis for leading the Australian Boomers to what I believe is the most successful four-year era ever. Consecutive four plays finishes suck, no doubt, but one possession away in 2016 for bronze and one rebound, free throw, and flutter away from a gold medal game in 2019. It's some bullshit, I'll tell you what, Yeah, it's tough. Oh, also, better add to that, currently our highest world ranking ever, third. Say what you will, but Andre has left the program in a great fucking place. I'll just backspace, get rid of the fucking, just say the nice stuff, Bogey, just say the nice stuff. Oh, who's this fuck with Daniel? He says, 2019, greatest choke ever. Oh, fuck you, dickhead Daniel. Great input, mate. Pat yourself on the back for that one. Jesus, what a bunch of fucking snowflake idiots there is, eh? That's some bullshit. All right, what else we got out here? What else we got? Oh, mate. Can you believe some of these basketball journalists out here? They're pretty funny, mate. I better say some shit about it too. Tell you what. To certain basketball journalists already throwing darts, it should leave no question as to why your credibility amongst players and coaches is so low. That's about Andre, right? Oh, you can figure out who that might be about. Nice one. Also, all right, finally, there's a great interview with our rugby coach, Lewis Vaughan Jones, tweeted it. I'm going to retweet it because that is some funny shit, mate. Oh, I got to get back on that horse, mate. Got to get back on that horse. All right, and that is all we've got time for this week. Love it. I've been Andrew Bogut, and this has been Andrew Bogut. Slam some Twitter snowflakes from Twitter.